Lord Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. But we ask for grace right now so that this message will have an ability to go in so that we can see and hear what your Spirit is really speaking to us in Jesus' name. I want to go back now to Genesis 15 because I was sharing with you a little bit about what God is trying to make us aware of. And so I'm going to be using different verses in this area to show you about God's covenant with Abraham. And it's really God's covenant with himself. Abraham is a witness of it. The very first verse, I think, is probably one of the most important. He had had a visit and had a victory in Damascus. And it says in verse 1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Did you hear that? After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. We at the House of Prayer take time to make sure that we receive, not just yell out to God what he should do for us. He's not Santa Claus. He was never intended to be. But many Christians are coming into a place where they need to mature and to grow up. Instead of their Christmas list every morning, it should be a praise list and a glory list and a yes, Lord list. So, visions should be a part of your life. Words of knowledge should be a part of your life. Speaking and praising and worshiping in tongues is what pleases your Father. Now, do you have to do that? Absolutely not. You can sit on your blessed assurance and enjoy the day, every day. But you should be looking for revelation about what God has intended for you instead of dictating what he should be doing for you. Because I've got news for you. This part of me is very skinny. And I'm talking about my head. It's very narrow. Abraham, in a vision, heard, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Now, some of us don't even pray for rewards. We pray for what we think is good for me. Anybody relate? When you're doing that, you are actually worshiping at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I could take you back to, you know, Genesis and show you that that's what happened with Adam and Eve. So when we are in the control room dictating to him what we think is good is coming from the wrong tree. We should be crying out to the tree of life, which is Christ, our Savior. Verse 2 says, "But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir." Verse 4, do you think it's the same vision? Yes. The word of the Lord came to him again. "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." A son from your body. He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. If that is not encircled in your Bible, it should be. You should have a circle around that because you have a pattern there. For the first man of faith took a chance and believed God. How many know we have to take a chance to believe God for what he's planned for us? And if we don't take a chance, we're in unbelief. When we question him about our future, and we say, well, I don't know if I want to do this. Well, by golly, who are you serving? You or him? You can say Jesus is Lord, but by your actions, you can cancel your comment. How many have ever canceled God's comment? Yeah. Because you keep on going with your own idea of what is right or wrong. And your own idea could be totally flawed. Amen? All right. Now, I'm hitting you hard, but I want to give you some upright understanding. God wants you to know about tomorrow. And the way to get there is by the Holy Ghost. That's why the book of Acts was written. It was written as a guideline to get you to receive from the Holy Spirit everything you need. Abraham lived way before the law. And God used what? Visions to wake him up. To get him out of disgusting areas in his family life. Let's go to verse 7. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, with a dove and a young pigeon. And Abraham brought all these to him, cut them in two, arranged the halves opposite each other. The bird, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. How many know you can have demonic darkness come upon whatever you offer God? Who's going to chase it away? Me. You. Not you for your neighbor. You for yourself. Who says no to the enemy? Us. We have an accountability before that. To just push the darkness away. Verse 12. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, which is what I quoted to you during communion. And a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country. He's prophesying about his children. Not their own. And they will be enslaved and mistreated for 100 years. 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. Now you say they didn't have a written book. They didn't have scrolls. How did this ever get written? By the same Holy Ghost who's been working on you and me for centuries. You, however, will go to your father in peace and be buried in a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. That should also be circled. Because, you know, sometimes you have enemies that you'd like to get rid of. How many have got a few that they'd like to eliminate? Well, if you were in the control room, would you know how many years you have to give them of mercy and grace? If you were in the control room, would you know how much that they need? How much mercy should they get? As much as God wants. But you see, in this case, 400 years would be allowed in God's children to go through hardship. How many have ever been through hardship? Put your hand up if you're... Thank you. If you've never been through hardship, you wouldn't understand what this is all about. But if you've been through hardship, you can know ahead of schedule that there's going to be a day of freedom. There's going to be a day of victory. And there's going to be a day where you would inherit the land that God has promised you. Now, has the space of grace been used up? Only God knows. So it's important to communicate with him and get to know what's up. Amen? When the sun, verse 17, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land from the rivers of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates, the land of Canaanites, etc., etc. Now, you say, why are you telling me all this? Because he believed God. And we have to deal with unbelief. Because we also would like to have what we think is right. But God knows what's right for us. He knows the hardships that we've been through. And he knows what's next. Now I'm going to skip into verse 17, chapter 17. Because I don't want to tell you about what he did on his own, because we all know how to do things on our own. Amen? Amen. Thank you. You know how you can create a mess? Listen to your brain. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Woohoo! Are you ready for that one? He appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your number. Verse 3 is kind of cool. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, which means father of many nations. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, and I will make nations out or of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants. Do you qualify?
Yes.
Oh, you are. Great. After you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Do you qualify?
Yes.
What's his name? He is God Almighty. He is capable of doing anything he wants. Not as you tell him what you want, but as his plan unfolds for you and me. God's plan unfolded for Abraham, but it took a long time. Sometimes we think, oh my God, this happened in 2 pages. Got it? Those 2 pages can take 25, 30 years. Yeah. So you see, he's got a plan, but unfolding it takes time for us to make up our minds to go with him instead of going with what we think is right. I want to take you to chapter 18, verse 1. You can freshen up on this after when you get home. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. And Abram looked up and saw 3 men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Hoo-hoo. Try that one on for size. Close your eyes. If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you will all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. He didn't tell him to stay for lunch. He was just telling him, hey, let's hold on here for a while. How many of you have ever had a vision and you wanted to hold on to it? Thank you. See, we want to hold on, and Abraham was no different than us. When we have something special happening in the realm of the spirit and we're starting to touch the heavenlies, I want to hold on. Abraham said, it's okay. Okay? Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servants who hurried to prepare it. How many know in that day it had to take quite a few hours to prepare lunch? You had to kill the animal first. You go to the butcher shop or go to Big Y or whatever. Walmart. Get a chunk of meat and put it in the oven. They had to make all these things and prepare them. It took hours. With an S. What am I trying to say to you? I'm trying to tell you that it's going to take time to develop not only your relationship with God, but his relationship with you. And you and I are usually the problem. Okay? It's not all about him making mistakes. It's about me and myself trying to do it my way. Okay? Verse 8. He then brought some curds, which is cheese, and milk, and the calf that had been prepared, and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where's your wife Sarah? They asked. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out, my master's old, he can't perform, will I now have this pleasure? I added a few things in there. Then the Lord said, Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord Almighty? Notice again, I added a little bit. I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not lie. Now, I've said those things to the Lord even when my unbelief was out there. And he just kind of giggled and knew my heart. But he said, yes, you did laugh. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? No. And I'm not going into that direction. What I am is giving you the option to find out the next level. I am, however, trying to make you aware that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, is the God you and I serve. It's not a different God. The Almighty has been with us and is with us and will be with us. Even if there's a storm in New England, even if there's a storm that hits the East Coast, he will be with you every step of the way. He'll guide you. He'll counsel you. He'll comfort you. Get his opinion. Don't listen to Channel 22 alone or Channel 40 or Channel 3. They are not your God. The Holy Ghost is your God. The Almighty is the one you serve. He's going to do a marvelous thing, and he's going to protect his children. He's not changed his mind. Now close your Bible. Lift it up before the Lord. Are you ready? Stand up. You'll think that Doug's here, but that's okay. We don't mind if he's dug us here by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. This is my Bible. It says what I am. It tells me who I am. It's not opinions of men that control my life. It's not the world news. That will dictate what I do. This is God's word for me.
This is God's word for
me. And I'm stepping into my destiny.
Today.
In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.